Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we're about to get into this message this morning, I do pray that it would be an encouragement to all of our moms. And Lord, I pray it would be an encouragement to all of the children that are here, even the grown ones, that we would live our lives in a way according to your will, Lord, that we would not try to go our own way and do our own thing, but that we would seek to live lives that please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in honor of Mother's Day, the title of our message this morning is A Biblical Model for Motherhood. And our text will be 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 28. And if you got your Bible, you turn there. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you, I want to start off this morning by telling you that I believe mothers are perhaps the most powerful and influential class of people on the face of the earth. And I know that the head of the home is the father, but if that's true, then the heart of the home is most certainly the mother. And as we look in these verses in 1 Samuel chapter 1 today, we're going to be introduced to a wonderfully godly woman whose name is Hannah. And if you ever been here during a baby dedication, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Hannah before. But we're going to take a little more in-depth look at her life this morning. You know, when I was preparing this message, I heard a fact that some of you may not be aware of, but motherhood, ladies, is actually hereditary. And it goes like this. If your mother didn't have any children, then chances are you won't either. Now, if you're familiar with this particular passage of scripture, you know that Hannah did not have it easy. She lived at a time in the Old Testament days, man, when things were really difficult. And it was really common in those days for a Jewish man to have more than one wife. Now, this was the case with Hannah. Her husband had more than one wife. And to add to the difficulty, Hannah, for whatever reason, was unable to have children. But the other wife that her husband was married to, she had kids. This created a big-time rivalry because Hannah's husband actually loved her more than the wife that was bearing him children. The wife that was bearing children knew that, so she would use the kids as a way to torment and taunt Hannah until she just made her life absolutely miserable. So Hannah cried out to God, and she asked, she begged him for a child. She said that she wanted a son who would grow up to serve the Lord. She wanted a baby that she could raise for God and then give back to God. She is a biblical model of motherhood. And today, as we study her life, I want to give you five principles for this biblical model of motherhood. And I pray, ladies, that God would write these principles on your heart. Now, they come out of the life of Hannah, but they also come directly from the Word of God. Now, fellas, if you're thinking, well, I'm not going to get anything out of this one, it's all for the ladies. Guys, these principles can apply to your life as well. We just so happen to be talking about how they apply to a mother today. So principle number one is the principle of a godly priority. Hannah had her priorities right. See, the desire of her heart is that she would have a child. In chapter 1, look at verses 10 in the very first part of verse 11. It says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. She's saying, God, I want a baby. This was the desire that was in her heart, and that desire was put there by the Almighty God. Now, why was that? Because Hannah understood what the Word of God teaches over and over and over again. Children are a blessing. They're a gift from God. Psalm 127, verse 3, I love this verse. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, notice how God describes a man who is blessed. Psalm 128, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, and thine children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Let me tell you something. There is something terribly wrong in our society today when little children are looked at as burdens rather than blessings. There's something terribly wrong today when children are put to death in their mother's womb. There should be no safer place on earth for a baby than in their mother's womb. But you know, since 1973, it has been a death chamber for more than 60 million aborted babies. This breaks my heart. Now, there are those in America today who would love to have children, but they're physically unable to. But, you know, there are a whole bunch of others who could have children, but they don't want them. And the reason they don't want them is because they want more of what this world offers. They want more material possessions. They want more stuff. They say, oh, if I had kids, I might have to give up my high-paying job to take care of those kids. And I might have to get rid of my expensive little sports car and get a minivan to haul them around in. I can't do that. I might not be able to take those expensive vacations every year. You know, if I had children, they would make me poor. Folks, I've told you this from the pulpit before. Children, they don't make rich people poor. They make poor people rich. The first principle for the biblical model of motherhood is that you need to have a godly priority. Hannah had a godly priority. She viewed having children as a blessing from God. That's principle number one. Principle number two is the principle of godly prayer. See, when you get your priorities in line with the will of God, you're also going to begin to pray according to the will of God. Look at verse 10 again. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Now, you don't have to answer it out loud, but to you moms in here, let me ask you a question. When did you begin praying for your children? After they were born or before they were born? You began praying before they were born, right? Some of you even began to pray for your children before they were conceived. That's what Hannah did. She prayed that God would bless her with children before she ever conceived a baby. She understood that children ought to come as an answer to prayer. You know, as I was studying for this message, I was reminded of all the women in the Bible who started their adult lives unable to have children. The Bible refers to these women as barren. They couldn't have children. But then God answered their prayers and they were blessed to become mothers. Abraham's wife, Sarah, she didn't have any children until she was 90 years old. And then God blessed her with a son named Isaac. This beautiful woman, Rachel, she was the wife of Jacob. She was unable to have children. She prayed, give me children or I will die. And God blessed her with a son named Joseph. Not too long ago, we studied the book of Ruth. And you may remember that Ruth didn't have any children. And to make things worse, Ruth didn't have much prospect of ever having any children because she was also a widow. Her husband had died. And she prayed, and God gave her a husband, and he gave her a son. Her little boy's name was Obed. Now, some of you are saying, Obed, never heard of him. Well, maybe you never heard of him, but I bet you may have heard of his grandson. He went by the name King David. Obed was King David's grandpa. Ruth was King David's great-grandmother. You know who else came from that same family line? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a blood descendant of King David as well in fulfillment of the scriptures. It was an answer to prayer that God blessed the Virgin Mary's cousin Elizabeth with a little boy named John. He grew up to become known as John the Baptist. And here we have Hannah, who prays to God for a child, and she is blessed with a little baby son, and she named him Samuel. Samuel is the greatest man in the Old Testament to live between the times of Moses and King David. And this happened in answer to a godly prayer prayed by a woman who had godly priorities. She said, "Lord, give me a child that I may give him back to you." Folks, we need more kids today that are born in answer to prayer and then given back to God in prayer before they're ever born. Can you imagine how things would be different if Isaac or Joseph or John the Baptist or Samuel would have never been born? All of these great men were born in answer to prayer. That brings us to our third principle, the principle of a godly purpose. So we see Hannah had a godly priority. She had godly prayers, and now we're going to see she also had a godly purpose. Here it is. Look at verse 11. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Now, what in the world does that mean? No razor will be used on his head. Folks, some of you know what this is. This pertains to the vow of the Nazarite. A Nazarite was a special person dedicated for service to God. Now, part of the stipulations for the vow of the Nazarite were this: as long as you were separated, and this was normally a temporary period of time, you would be separated for service to the Lord. No haircuts, no shaving. You could not use a razor anywhere on your head. That's why Samson's hair was so long, right? Now, some men like Samson and Samuel, they were Nazarites for their entire lives. They were dedicated to God's service their entire life. Now, let's see the requirements. These are just a little piece of the requirements for the Nazarite. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 5. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long. So don't let nobody tease you about your hair, son. In effect, what Hannah is saying here is that she wants a holy child. She wanted a child who was set aside, separated for service to the Lord. You see this woman, this model of biblical motherhood? She got a godly priority. She's got godly prayers. She's got a godly purpose. And because of that, God heard her and he gave her a son. If you pray and you ask God to bless you with a child, not only do you pray before that child's born, but your prayers got to follow that child all of their lives. And you got to have a purpose for the child. You know, I know that there are people today, and you may be one of them. You might be about to get your feelings hurt, and I'm sorry for that. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings, but I do want to tell you the truth. There are people today who say, "Well, I pray for my child, but those prayers don't seem to get answered." I want to ask you this question. What exactly are you praying for that child? What's your desire? What do you pray? Do you pray for their health, for their success, for their popularity? Do you pray that they would get a great job and get rich? Do you know that there are many people who feel that it would be a tragedy if God were to call their daughter or son to be a missionary? They feel that it would be a waste if God were to call their child into the ministry. I got to tell you, friend, if you think that a life in service to God is a tragedy or a waste, then your priority, your prayer and your purpose for your children, they're twisted. Let me tell you what my desire is, my desire for all four of my children. It can be found in the little epistle of 3 John. That's one chapter, one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's verse 4. This is my desire for my kids. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Do you want to, let me give you a perfect prayer to pray for your kids, to pray over your kids. And it can be found in the Word of God. So if you're praying it, you undoubtedly are praying the will of God over your children. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And the Apostle Paul is actually praying this over the church at Ephesus. But this is a beautiful prayer to pray over your children as well. Here it is. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now, that is a prayer to pray over your kids. Now, the reason that our prayers for our children go unanswered is because many times we're praying for the wrong things. This is why James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives." Hannah had a godly purpose. She said, "God, I want a child that will serve you." Now, listen. I want you to understand something. You cannot make your children serve God. You can't make them. My wife and I have goals for ourselves, but we have desires for our children. See, what's the difference? Somebody says, it's simply this. The only person that you can set a goal for is yourself. You have desires for others. Now, my goal is to be a godly dad. And I'll tell you straight up, there are many times that I fail, but that's still my goal. That's what I'm striving toward. I can't say for sure that I'm going to have godly children. It's my desire that I would have godly children. That's what I'm praying for, and that's what I'm trying to instill biblical values in them for. I have a goal to be a godly dad, but I got a desire that when my children would grow up to be godly men and my daughter would grow up to be a godly woman. Now, Hannah's desire was that her little son would be a man of God. She had a godly priority, a godly prayer, a godly purpose, and that brings us to our fourth principle for the biblical model of motherhood, the principle of godly perseverance. Verses 12 through 20, we see that as Hannah continued to pray, Eli the priest, he was there. And we're told that Hannah was deeply distressed and she was praying from her heart. So she was speaking silently to God, but her lips were moving. Now, Eli saw this and he thought she was drunk. So he came up to her and started giving her a hard time. He said, "How long are you going to keep getting drunk, woman? Put your wine away." She said, wait a minute. You got me all wrong. I'm not drinking anything. Don't think I'm a wicked woman. I'm here praying out of anguish in my heart that God would answer my prayer." And when Eli sees that she's actually a nice lady, she is pouring her heart out to God. He says, "May God answer your prayer and be gracious to you." And you know what happened? God did answer her prayer. I told you she gave birth to this little boy and she named him Samuel. And it says she named him Samuel because I asked the Lord for him. The name Samuel actually means heard of God. She prayed, God heard. He was born. She named him Samuel. Now, not only did Hannah pray for that baby before he was born, she kept praying for him after he was born. What's the principle here? It's godly perseverance. That means this, parents, no matter how dark, no matter how desolate, no matter how difficult your situation might seem, you pray for your kids and you keep on praying no matter what. That is godly persistence. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm 37, 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 27, 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Over and over and over again, we're told in the scripture to wait on the Lord. Hannah did this, and what was the result? Because of her godly persistence, her sorrow was turned to joy. Now, I want to say again, this doesn't just apply to mothers. It applies to fathers and to any other godly person, regardless of your situation. You can take these principles and you can apply them to your own life. Now, in the life of Hannah, we have so far seen the principles of godly priorities, godly prayers, a godly purpose, and godly persistence. Now, let me give you the fifth and final principle. The principle of godly persuasion. Here's how it works. You get your priorities right. You get your prayers right. You get your purpose right. You get your persistence right. And then you begin to do what you alone can do to persuade that child for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 21 and 22. When the man Elkanah, that's Hannah's wife, or pardon me, that's Hannah's husband, Elkanah, when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him to the Lord, and he will live there always. And then in verse 23, we see that Hannah's husband, he's in agreement with her. He says, do what seems best to you, only may the Lord make good his word. So what he's saying is, okay, I'm going to agree with this, but don't forget that vow you made that this child was going to serve the Lord, and may God make that good. So she stayed home and she nursed her son until he was weaned, till he no longer needed to be nursed. And then in verses 24 through 28, we read that when Samuel was big enough, he no longer needed his mother to nurse him. She took him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, along with an offering. And there she presented her son to old Eli, the priest. And she said, hey, you remember me? I'm the woman that stood here beside you praying for a child. God gave me this beautiful son, and now I want to give him to the Lord so that he may serve God his whole life. And the Bible says, and Samuel worshiped there. Now, wait a minute. This is a little bitty old kid. How did he know about worshiping the Lord already at this young stage in his life? Because his mother persuaded him with godly persuasion. From the time he was born, all through his earliest years, she taught him about God. She taught him to love God and to worship God. She nursed him, she took care of him, and she persuaded him like nobody else could do. She treasured each moment that she spent with her son, and she used this principle of godly persuasion to guide him onto the right path. Now, we see this same principle of godly persuasion in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. Listen to what he says. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So you get that? Timothy's grandmother, her name was Lois. She had a little baby daughter named Eunice, and she taught little Eunice all about the Lord and persuaded Eunice to live for the Lord. Well, when little Eunice grew up, she had a son. She named him Timothy. She taught him the same things, and he became a great man of God. Yes, a father does have a lot of influence on his children, But I will tell you that the deepest impression is made by the mother. Hannah knew that. And because of the way she persuaded her son to love and serve the Lord, she changed the course of a nation. She changed the course of the nation of Israel. Now, as we prepare to close today, I want to remind all of our moms of one thing, regardless of what you may do for a living. There is nothing on earth greater or more important than raising a child for Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing more important. Don't you ever underestimate the power of a mother. President Abraham Lincoln, listen to what he said. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Abe Lincoln said that, considered by many to be the greatest president ever. President George H.W. Bush, the older Bush, listen to what he said. My mother was the most godly person I ever knew. John and Charles Wesley, the men who were known as the fathers of the Methodist Church, they were persuaded to love the Lord by their mother, a very godly lady whose name was Susanna. She's the one that raised them to love Jesus. Billy Graham, who just only recently passed away, he often talked about his godly mother and how she raised him to love the Lord. All of these guys, they got one thing in common, a mother who persuaded them in a godly way, a mother who raised them to love Jesus. And I'm telling you, man, especially in America, we need more moms like that today. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, great and mighty God, we thank you so much for godly mothers. And Lord, although this bar that is set by Hannah as the model of biblical motherhood is an awful high one, Lord, I pray that you would instill these principles, that you would write them on the hearts of our moms. And Lord, write them on the hearts of our dads as well. As we are about to go downstairs, we do ask your blessing upon this food. We thank you for the guys down there that put this all together. We pray that the ladies would feel deeply appreciated today and that everybody would have a real good time in you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Hey, before we close up with the benediction, if you have a prayer request that you want prayer for right now, we will have a couple of guys right up here as the service is closing, that will be happy to pray for you about whatever it may be. Okay? Whatever it may be, they will pray for you. Let's go ahead and bow. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.